This week on the Andrew and Pete Show, Pat Flynn's biggest secret is revealed. Guy Kawasaki is the devil, and Peg Fitzpatrick gets super, super competitive. It's not an innuendo, it's the Andrew and Pete Show.
Welcome to the show, guys, with me, Andrew, and this guy over here,
Pete.
Yes, this is the show where your favorite marketers are battling it out to be crowned the ultimate marketing champion, and things are getting tense.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, let's get the show on the road.
Marketing tango! We have the wonderful, the amazing Peg Fitzpatrick! Woohoo!
And me.
And Andrew. And we're going to be playing Marketing Tango, where you two are going to be battling it out to the death.
Taking you down.
You'll get an extra bonus 5 points if you can manage to beat Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Totally can be, Andrew. So bring it on.
This is going to be...
Although he's looking at the category right now.
So we're going to get going. Are you ready?
Andrew's family members.
Yeah, right. The cat. Okay.
The cat was a good choice.
Yeah, well, that's thank you for that. Yeah.
The category is... Speakers at Social Media Marketing World.
Any year?
Any year.
Okay, you're going down because I've been to almost all of them.
I was thinking I'm going to be at a disadvantage here.
Andrew's going to go first and then you chop in the next one. Okay?
Got it.
Ready?
Peg Fitzpatrick.
Guy Kawasaki.
Kim Garst.
Amy Schmittauer.
Joel Kahn.
Brian Banzo.
Andrea Vahl.
Michael Selsner.
Pat Flynn.
Mary Smith.
John Lee Dumas.
Pat Flynn.
Oh no, Pat Flynn's been said.
Really?
Yes.
You said Pat Flynn already?
I said Pat Flynn.
You did?
Pat Flynn, yeah. Has been said. Sorry, Peg. You were doing so well.
I don't know about that. I want a replay. Michael Selsner.
Pat Flynn.
Fine, I'm good with being out on Pat Flynn because he's worthy of being mentioned twice.
Yeah.
I was totally being strategic and picking everyone who I thought you would know.
That's clever.
That is really clever.
That's very clever.
Wrong Answers. Hello, Chris Ducker, and welcome to Wrong Answers. The aim of this game is simple. All you have to do is give us the incorrect answer to some questions that you should really know the answers to. Make sense?
I think so. Let's do it.
Okay, we've got 30 seconds. This is quick fire, and you score a point for every incorrect answer.
Are we ready?
Yes, ready? Let's do it.
Go.
Are you really British?
See, I'm already stumped on the first one.
Come on.
No.
What is Pat Flynn's biggest secret?
He likes to dress up like Lady every Friday night.
What is a personal brand?
The exact opposite of me.
What's the first task you should delegate to a VA?
Nothing. You should do everything yourself.
Should entrepreneurs read Harry Potter or Virtual Freedom?
Harry Potter all the way. That was good. See, it took me a while to get going, but I was all right after then.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thank you so much for playing Wrong Answers. Chris. The Slow Fire Round.
Please, would you introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do?
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. My name is Kim Garst. I am a social media / digital marketing strategist. I'm seriously passionate about helping people monetize their businesses. And, you know, whether that's, you know, through social or whether that's integrating digital media or digital marketing with their overall marketing strategy. But ultimately, monetizing is where my serious passion lies.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay, great. Well, amazing to have you on the show. In the slow fire round, we're going to ask you the three questions that we ask all of our guests. The only catch is we're also going to give you three words that you are not allowed to say during those answers.
So makes it a bit tougher.
It makes it a little bit
tougher.
It's going
to be tough. This means I'm going to have to slow down and think before I say something, right?
Exactly. If you do mention any of the words that you're not allowed to mention, then you will lose a point for every time that you do. Everything clear?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As much.
Well, all right, so the first question is...
Oh, no, three words first.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Getting ahead of myself.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be held responsible. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You'd be great at this game. Okay, the three words that you're not allowed to say are live, social, and create.
Okay.
Live,
so
social.
So live, social, and create.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live,
okay.
Social.
I don't know if we should let you off with those three that you just said back to us.
Yeah, we'll you've got to let me off on those because I was just confirming the three words.
All right, okay. The first question is, what is your most shared piece of content? And why do you think that is?
One of my most shared, is that blog content or on one of the platforms?
In general.
I would have to say on one of the platforms where we are, we communicate, then it would be a graphic that was generated that said something to the effect, in fact, it said exactly this. Every time you feel yourself being pulled in other people's drama, repeat these words, not my circus, not my monkeys. That particular image was shared like 7 million times. I mean, it was great to see how much that particular graphic resonated with people who saw it. That's probably, I think the reason that content is shared on those platforms where we spend a lot of our time is because it resonates in some way. It's relatable to those that see it and then ultimately engage with it. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons that people sometimes struggle from a marketing perspective because they think they're just a business, right? And what they put out and share has to be business related, when the reality is people don't care about our business out the gate. You know, they don't care about our products or services. You have to connect with them in a human-to-human way in some way. And I that's one of the reasons I think that content that, you know, is inspirational or, you know, is relatable in some way, performs so well.
Awesome. I like that. That's really
insight.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. We're going to have to create some monkey graphics.
Mm-hmm.
You like said
I
it.
Get away with that.
I said it. Yeah, I'm the host.
Point.
I can say this. You're doing well so far with the three words. Very, very well.
Here we go. Question number two. What is your biggest time saver when it comes to creating content?
My biggest time saver is probably using video and then creating.
One point.
Oh, man. Using that video to repurpose the content in multiple ways. That saves me so much time. And you guys have probably found that out yourself. You know, using when you produce content, video content, and then, you know, repurpose it, you know, slice it up, have it transcribed. There's so many ways that you can leverage that particular piece of content. So that's probably my number one time saver. Can I share one more?
Yeah, go for it.
I use a tool called Social Oomph. It's very similar to Edgar. We talked about Edgar earlier. Broadcast all of my content, all my blog content in particular. And I, you know, it saves me hours and hours and hours of time. Now, I don't automate any of my conversations, but I definitely automate my content so that I'm not sitting there tweeting all day or, you know, posting on Facebook, etc.
Ah, that's really interesting. Social Oomph. Unfortunately, Social Oomph does have the word social in it. But
and you said that a lot. I didn't even pick that up.
But I couldn't have shared that tip if I hadn't have referenced the right tool.
Well, the judge is out on that one.
Maybe you might have
that's
to
on the line. That's on the line.
All right. Question number three then. What do you wish you had done sooner when it comes to content marketing?
Absolutely using the content in a way that drove opt-ins to my list. That is something that I didn't do and had no focus on for almost 5 years. And I seriously regret that. You know, everybody has heard the old saying, you know, the money's in the list. Well, that's because it is. And, you know, when you're putting content out, you know, whether it's on your blog or whether it's in those on those platforms where we hang out, it is there's touch points, but there's never, I mean, they may never come back to your blog or they may never see you on Instagram or Facebook or wherever again. So, you know, moving them to your list as quickly as you possibly can is incredibly important. And that's probably my number one regret when it comes to marketing is that I didn't focus on that and really didn't have, you know, core strategies to make sure that that took place.
Interesting. Really interesting insights there, Kim. I know we could talk all day, but where can people find out more about you and what you do and learn more from you?
Absolutely. Well, my website is kimgarst.com. You can find me on all of those platforms that I can't name under my name, Kim Garst. And from Facebook to Twitter to all of them, you can find me.
Great. Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you for taking part in the slow fire round.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now it's time for the quickest marketing tip of the week. Starring our amazing guest expert, Joe Pelizzi.
Stop using all social media and put everything into your e-newsletter. Done.
And that was the quickest marketing tip from our guest expert of the week. Marketing, snug, marry, avoid. Next up, we have the amazing Anne Hanley. It turns out that Americans don't know what the word snog is. It's basically like a kiss. So it's kind of like kiss, marry, or avoid. I think there's
a similar... I thought it was going to be an F. Snog is... I'm going to write that down. Yeah. Snog is kiss. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Boom. All right, I got
it. I like how you had to make a note of that.
I have a whole list of sexual terms that I try. I keep post-it notes of over here.
Just in case. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys are like, really?
And in this round, all you have to do, Anne, is tell us which one out of these three tools, strategies, or platforms you would rather snug, i.e. only use once for one day, or which one you would marry, i.e. use forevermore, happily ever after, or avoid. Okay, so right. i.e. never use. You just can't use it ever.
Ever.
Now, Anne, when we were doing our research on you, we got the impression that maybe you liked writing. I don't know where we got that from. Maybe you like blogs and writing books and things like that. Would that be true?
That is 100% true.
Good. So we wanted to make this a little bit more specific to writing and writing blogs. So okay. We wanted to know which blogs, if you could only do a certain type, which ones you would do. So are you ready for the three specific things?
I am ready for the three specific things. Go.
Okay, so first blog type, listicles. The second, how-to articles and tutorials. And three, reviews. Okay, so listicles, how-to tutorials, and reviews. Which would you snog, marry, and avoid?
Okay. How-to articles?
Mm-hmm.
I would marry.
Mm.
Because they are very specific to the people you're trying to reach. I believe that great content marketers at their hearts are truly teachers. And so being able to teach an audience through how-to articles to me would be a type you'd want to marry. listicles, I don't know. I mean, do I have to choose between listicles and reviews for snogging? Okay. So, all right. Snogging reviews.
Yeah.
And avoiding listicles. And my reasoning for that is because listicles tend to be very surface, like five ways to do something at a surface level. That's usually what listicles are. You can do listicles at a more substantive level, but at that point, I think they would be almost a how-to. So I'm sort of embedding more substantive listicles as how-tos. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes sense. I like it.
And now, an intermission. This podcast is brought to you by Atomic, the membership site for small but mighty solopreneurs and business owners. If you've enjoyed the angle we've taken on this podcast, then Atomic will teach you how to do exactly the same thing, and that it'll teach you how to come up with a unique, interesting way to get your content standing out in your industry. So check it out at andrewandpete.com/Atomic. Room 101.
Jay Akunzo, welcome to Room 101. This is your chance to banish something, some marketing tactic or tool or trend or strategy, all the way into Room 101, never to be seen again by anyone ever.
Harsh.
Harsh.
It's pretty rough.
Jay, this is your chance to have a little bit of a rant and get things off your chest. So, Jay, what would you like to put in room 101?
Oh, my gosh. So much to choose from. Which one of you guys is Andrew?
Hey, we can cut this.
We'll fix it in post. This thing I'm calling advice overload, I'd like to banish to room 101. So here's the deal. We live in the information age, which is wonderful. We have access to all kinds of experts and all kinds of advice and all kinds of sources for inspiration. And what happens is we can instantly jump to someone else's answer when we have some kind of intent to do something. And we start to cling to the one that feels like the safest in all this froth. So it could be the one simple secret, the seven tips and tricks, you know, the big name that you admire and their wisdom passed down from on high. In all of this, we're like looking externally for someone else's wisdom to save us or lead us forward. And what gets washed away in this flood of experts and gurus and thought leaders is you, is the ability that you have to think for yourself, to ask the right questions, consider new possibilities, basically to use your own intuition instead of all this advice overload. So I think it's time that we stop obsessing over, let's say, everybody else's answers for us and instead started asking the right questions, started acting like scientists or experimenters or testers or creative geniuses like you two. We need to get better at basically thinking for ourselves. So I'm taking advice overload, which is the mentality that someone else has the answer for us in the information age, and I'm banishing that away. So we start to use the information age more like a source of possibilities for us to think about ourselves.
Whoa, I
like
that one.
That's a great one.
Yes.
Most people are just like, oh, auto DMs. And then that's like,
we went deep there, I feel like.
I'm a big believer it's all about the tool. It's not, sorry, wow, no, I'm a big believer. It's all about the person. Cut, edit. It's all about the person, not the tool, the technology, the trend. It's how you use it. So I think most people use auto DMs in terrible ways. I'm sure there's somebody who could find a use for it that maybe is good. I haven't seen it. So I'm not going to tell you it's a tool or a tactic or whatever because it's about the person at the controls. I think it's more of a way of thinking that these here internets have us thinking about, like have us acting like.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
Officially going in then, I would say.
Officially.
Advice overload into room 101.
Get it out.
Cue the sound effect. Tool, don't drool. We are joined by Jay Baird. Jay, do you feel like drooling today?
I feel like I should be in a wetsuit. I feel like I've been misled. I'm glad I'm not going on stage soon. But yes, I am ready.
That is a nice suit. Let's hope you don't drool. Thank you. Right.
It was a nice suit. Yeah. You're right. It was.
we can't see he's got on his legs, so we might be in swim shorts right now.
Yeah, you could be on swim shorts.
Nothing.
On
that note, okay, Tool Don't Drool is really, really simple. We're just going to ask you what your favorite tool of the moment is and why, and all you need to do is answer with a big mouthful of water. So, there are 5 points to be won if you don't drool, spit, spray, or swallow. Yeah? So, Jay, take a big mouthful of water, please.
Is this all or nothing? Is it 0 points or 5 points, or is it 1 point for drool, 1 point for spray? I'm unclear on the scoring here.
Yeah, sorry. It is 5 points if you don't drool, and it is minus 5 points if you do drool.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
This is difficult. I feel like, to make this fair, you guys should have sent out small packets of water to keep the consumption at the same level, right? Because this is very much... Somebody could pretend to drink water here. Okay, I wouldn't do that because I have ethics, unlike most of your guests. But,
who on the show doesn't have ethics out of interest?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Next time, next season 2, everybody gets 25 centiliters or whatever that would be for you guys. Milliliters, that's a lot. That's like a giant
like the
bottle.
25 milliliters or something. Here, yes. I feel like the competitive side's coming out.
I may be taking this a little too seriously, but, you know, it's 5 or 0.
It's 5 or
right,
minus 5.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right. Okay. Go now.
I go for it.
Okay. Take the mouthful of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Jay, what is your favorite tool and why?
Co-schedule.
And why?
Problem doing, social sharing, analytics, all on my platform.
That's
a minus 5, but I'm going to repeat that. Calendaring, social sharing, analytics, all on one platform. Awesome. I'll take a minus 5. That's how much I like co-schedule.
We got some co-schedule love
well
here.
Done.
All right.
Well done.
Thank you so much, Jay, for playing Tool Don't Drool.
Let's do that with like wine or maybe gravy next season would be even better. Maybe hot turkey gravy would really make that episode.
Tweet or no tweet?
Is it a tweet? I don't know. Is it a tweet or is it not a tweet? I don't know.
Hello, Mark Schaefer, and welcome to Tweet or No Tweet. Are you excited?
I am so excited.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit nervous about this round.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a little bit of a nervous face. The rules of this round are simple. We are going to read out 5 tweets, and all you have to do to score a point is tell us if a previous Mark Schaefer has tweeted this, or if we have just completely made them up.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Got it.
Right, okay.
Got it.
Here we go. Tweet number 1. I have never received an auto DM that has made me click a link. Not one. So how did this become a best practice? Was somebody...
That would be me.
Oh, he knew before I even finished the tweet. That was you. Well, you know your tweets. That was the 13th of August, 2010, you tweeted that.
2010?
So good memory.
Boy, you guys are... You've got too much time on your hands.
A lot of scrolling.
A lot of scrolling. All right, the second tweet. Was this you or was this made up? Breaking news. Guy Kawasaki is the devil.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, this man knows his tweets.
That was good. Okay.
It was true then, it's true today. I love Guy. I really did. That was actually just I was having some fun with him. because he just like abuses Twitter so much, and that's why I said Guy Kawasaki was the devil. But I love Guy. We're friends.
So Guy fans, no hate mail to Mark, please.
No,
hate.
No, not.
It's all good.
There's some bromance going on there, I'm sure.
There is.
Mark is also the devil.
All right, two for two. Here is tweet number three. I aspire to one day, hashtag, break the internet like Kim Kardashian.
That could definitely be me, because that's what I want to do. You know, it's funny because that's always in my mind. But did I actually tweet that? I'll say I did tweet that. No tweets. Oh, it's funny.
Because that's one. Mark.
You need a third category that is something you should tweet.
Should have been tweeted by.
Should have been tweeted.
Okay.
All right. We'll wait out for that one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That right. was tricky. That was very, very tricky.
It's good, right?
We got into your mind for that
it's
one.
Sneaky.
Yeah. Do you ever need to outsource your Twitter, Mark? You know, two guys here.
Because. Kim and I, you know, we both, you know, we show our bums on the internet in different ways.
How do you do that?
It's a metaphorically.
I'm not page of his website.
Metaphorically, I've been on that page either.
Metaphorically, I show my ass every day.
At Mark W. Schaefer's bum. All right, okay. The fourth tweet. Let's pull this back. I swear, all I need to do is look at Will Ferrell and I will laugh.
Absolutely. 100% my tweet.
Correct.
That is your ding, tweet. Ding,
ding. Are you still a big Will Ferrell fan?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's so funny. All he has to do is raise an eyebrow and he breaks me up.
This is brand new information.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Last one.
Go grab my latest book, The Two of Twitter.
Not Tao, The Two of Twitter.
Did you tweet that epic typo?
I misspelled my own book. All right, I'm going to go way on a limb here and say... No, I did not misspell my own book.
Correct. You did correct. Not misspell your own.
You almost fell for that, but too good.
Yeah. Okay. My next tweet is gonna be Andrew and Pete are the devil.
Yeah.
I love how guests are saying that.
Killer questions.
This is the part of the show where you get to take some control back and actually ask us the questions. And Pete gets a little bit nervous as well. Here is today's killer question.
Hi, Andrew and Pete. It's Karen from Boardroom Beauty YouTube channel, which is a channel dedicated towards makeup and skincare for mature business professionals. I'd love to know your thoughts on where the best place to put a call to action for channel subscriptions is. Is it in the beginning of my videos, scattered somewhere in the middle, or should I put it at the end of my videos? Do you have any research or hints and tips on where the best place to put it is? Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Karen, for that great question. And please, everybody, do make sure to check out her awesome YouTube channel. I know Andrew has picked up a few tips from there himself.
That's how I make myself so pretty.
But it's a great question.
Yeah, it is a great question. And I think you're seeing a lot of the YouTubers experimenting with this. And I think it is a little bit of a cop-out answer from us to say, just kind of experiment, test out what works best. But I wouldn't necessarily stick with one. I think that's kind of the better answer. I think as soon as your audience kind of gets used to something, then they will start like clicking away if they know the last 5 seconds is just telling them to subscribe. Or if it's just at the start of the video, then any new people might not be engaged straight away because those first 5 seconds, as you know, the really important ones to actually grab attention. So what we're kind of doing is I think we're going to mix this up. As we go forward, you might tell them right at the beginning sometimes, you might tell them in the middle, you might tell them in the end. What you don't want is that content stagnation where you're just following the same pattern over and over and over and over again. And I think there's definitely benefits with, YouTube and the call to action and having them in all different kind of areas.
Yeah, I think the main key point is with all of your videos, you need to really start with a bang and get people's attention straight away. And wasting that time by telling someone to subscribe, especially if they've just found you by search, is probably just going to turn them off and reduce your retention rates more than anything. Mm-hmm. However, what I have seen done, which is quite nice, is almost like a 1 second or a 2 second, hey, you know, we're Andrew and Pete, make sure to subscribe. In this video, I'm going to be telling you this awesome tool about trick or hack or whatever. So mm-hmm. it's very quick.
Yes.
So if you are going to do it quick. But then later on, do it a little bit more prominently. Another tip is to also not just do it with your words, but also with prompts on the screen. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people are either listening but not watching or watching but not listening. So you need both to just make it even more likely for people to take that call to action.
Yes. Good, great tips there. Great tips. Hope that answers your question there, Karen. Should we do one more question?
Yeah, we could do one more question.
I'm feeling quite excited.
Squeeze in one more question.
Squeeze in a cheeky one.
Hi, this is Nicole Osborne, founder of Lollipop Social. I offer marketing and social media services to ambitious entrepreneurs. Pete and Andrew, the question I wanted to ask you, what are the key trends in content marketing that most excite you?
Nicole, I love you, but we are going to fall out if you keep on calling us Pete and Andrew.
Nicole's back, everybody.
I think she definitely likes you better than me.
What is going on? What is going on? It's Andrew and Pete, Nicole. Come on. All right, okay,
Everyone should check out Nicole online, though, because Nicole is awesome.
Nicole is awesome.
We're just kidding, Nicole.
Lollipop Social, where social comes before lollipop when we say it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, Pete comes before Andrew. All right, but this is a great question. What are the upcoming trends that excite us in content marketing? And kind of business in general, right? The things that excite us are kind of the more interactive types of content marketing. It's AR, like augmented reality and VA. Also,
VA or VR?
VR, sorry. What was I gonna say? Also, voice search, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And bots is obviously really exciting for us. We're quite big on that at the moment. And also, another thing that really, really excites us is shows.
I think shows is probably what excites me the most. So it's actually, rather than just doing like one-off content, it's actually kind of batching your content together into some kind of show that has a long-running narrative. Mm. Maybe something similar to the Andrew and Pete show.
Yeah.
Who knows? This might be our first foray into shows. But I think that is quite exciting. I think with Facebook Watch coming out as well, you're going to see a lot more content creators batching their content into these style shows. So yes. Look out for that. So
awesome.
Thank you so much for those two questions, Karen and Nicole from Social Lollipop, or Lollipop Social. That, guys, was killer questions.
Surprise! Guest of the week.
On this week's surprise special guest, we have Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. Mark Schaefer will be happy. Well, I've just got a Snapchat from her, actually.
Oh, yeah. Drama. Here we go.
Well, the first one was a selfie.
Yeah.
And then the second one was she's really hurt her neck doing a selfie. So she's not going to be on the show. She has to go to hospital.
There's always drama with that
There's always drama with that one.
Damn it. Should we just go to the scores? Maybe we can give Courtney a buzz.
And that was the end of episode 7 of the Andrew and Pete Show. Andrew, this is heating up, right? What are the scores?
Okay, so this is getting interesting, Pete, because we've got Jay Akunzo at the top with 25 points. But Jay has played all the games where he can win points.
Whoa.
So all Jay can do now is go down from that 25 points. So it's now a case of, can we catch up Jay? Let's see what people's chances are. We have Amy Schmittauer, who's dropped a few more points. She's down to 0.
Whoa.
We've got Joe Polizzi on 1. We've got Brian Fanzo and Kim Garst on 6. Anne Handley on 7. Jay Bear on 8. Mark Schaefer is going up now. He's got 10 points. Chris Ducker is on 12 points. And Peg Fitzpatrick is in second place again with 15 points. So Peg's going to need another 10 points to catch up Jay.
This is so exciting. Dude, I'm getting way into this.
I'm actually thinking of stopping doing Andrew and Pete and just doing, like, scores for things. This is quite fun.
You are really good at this. If you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe. And remember, this is our first podcast, so we really want some more 5-star reviews.
Maybe I should ask if they haven't done it already.
I know.
Because they clearly haven't been listening to you. So guys, please, if you haven't given us a review already, please, please, for the sake of Pete, for Pete's sake, please give us a review. It'll really help us out and it'll help more people find the show.
Guys, that was
The Andrew and Pete Show.